Let me pray, and then let's hear so as he preaches God's word to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for every word of your scriptures that proclaims him and enables us to know him better. Thank you so much for preaching a word to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for Sho as he preaches of Christ to us this evening. Please may our hearts be thrilled afresh like those disciples on coming back from the road to Emmaus, filled with joy as they considered how you had spoken to them from all of the scriptures about the Lord Jesus. So please help Sho, please help each one of us to learn more about you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 He's going to come back again. Okay, you want to come and join? It's the guitar. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. All right, thank you for your patience. I'll start off with a little introduction as to why this is my favorite verse. And, why it's my favorite verse, as I just mentioned. So, about a decade ago, I was at a place whereby I was living in London, young, working, but there was a stirring in my heart at that time. I was thinking, is this all there is to life? You know, you move up from your parents' house, you get a place, and you know, working and everything else, and everything is fine. There must be more to this. So I remember, as silly as it sounds, just started crying like a baby that evening, just thinking, why is it that I need to speak to my mother's pastor, or I need to speak to my mom or my grandmother to know the Lord, what he's saying and stuff? And I started crying like a child that night, just saying, God, I need to know who you are. 2 weeks later, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And let's do it. I opened Genesis, and something just happened. At that point, I just knew that this was God, and he had enlightened something in me. I just knew it. And it was Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, in the beginning, God. And I paused at that point in time. And I thought, in the beginning, God. Wait. That means that God must have been there before the beginning. And it made me think of a movie, right? Where, let's say you're watching, I don't know, just a picture of a movie, any movie that we have that comes to mind. Normally, the storyline starts at a specific point in time, but the character already exists beforehand. Does that make sense? And in the same way, the Bible starts with the beginning, but God is already there. And then I thought to myself, hold on a second, he was there before the beginning. Oh, that makes sense. That's why he's eternal. Oh, wow. And as I kept on going through the scriptures, I didn't notice John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as you go on further on, it says that the Word became flesh, and that is Jesus Christ. And for me, at that point in time, I was just in complete, I don't know how to explain it, I was just blown away completely. And I started calling my friends, telling them that Jesus is God, can you believe it? Jesus is God, replace the Word. In the beginning, it says, in the beginning was the Word, replace it with Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And the response that I got was, that's cool, bro. And I thought, what kind of big response is this? You don't understand that this is Jesus who's been there the whole time in the Old Testament. The person that Moses saw, the glory of the Lord, this is Jesus Christ. But from that point onwards, my life never remained the same. It was an enlightening just knowing who Jesus Christ is. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a good person. He's not just someone that gave us, you know, the Beatitudes and stuff to live by. He's actually God in flesh. So, this is where I want to start. Because I'm going to go through five main points. Number one, the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus being God's communication to us. Number three, the humility of God. Number four, the glory of God. And number five, our response. What is our response to all of this? It's good to know this, but what do we do in response? So, if we look at verse 1, it's like it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." With us seeing this, we know that God is eternal. Jesus also shares in that nature then, because he too is eternal. But what we also see is that he came in flesh. It says that he was with God, and it goes on in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So that means that not only is he God, but he created everything. Everything that we see here, Jesus was involved in the creation of all things. And Paul makes mention of this as well by saying that through this person, this visible image of the invisible God, he created all things. We know that Jesus is eternal. He was there beforehand, before time, already with God. In his prayer to God, when Jesus was praying to the Father, he said, "Bring me into the glory that we shared before time began, or before the world began." We know that even one of the prophets made mention of this as well, where God said specifically that I'm going to send someone to Bethlehem, and his goings, or his where he's from, it will be from eternity past. So not only is he just a good teacher, teaching from maybe, he's not teaching from human perspective here. He's teaching from up there, the Most High God, from that perspective. Verse 15 actually shows this as well. John testified about him and cried out loud, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.'" Now, if you don't understand the chronology of scripture, you know that John the Baptist was actually born before Christ, Jesus. So what does he mean that Jesus was born before him? So what does he mean that Jesus is higher in rank than him? What did he see? What was it that he knew about this Jesus? This is God in flesh. This is the Messiah, the promised one. And everywhere in scripture we see that it talks about a Messiah that is to come. And that Messiah is Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus being the communication of God. It's quite interesting here that John is speaking to a people and telling them that Jesus is the Word. When you think of words, you think of communication. I'm speaking to you, I'm communicating my thoughts to you right now by words. In the same way, God communicates to us through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says that, verse 1 to 2 says that in times past, God spoke through the prophets, but he speaks to us through his Son. And it goes on to say, through whom the world was made. So Jesus was already there. He's the one by which God created everything. He spoke it. And the reason why this links up with Genesis well for me is this. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes on to speak about the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters. And then God said. And we also know that David also made mention of this, saying that God created everything by his word. Who was that word? Who was that person that brought things into being? It was Jesus Christ. Not only that, but we see that God is not, that Jesus is not just a word, he's a person. Hebrews says, through whom? That's a person. Jesus is that person that was there, that created everything. But to line it up with the communication part, we see that the life that Jesus lived is an example for us of how we ought to live. I think when we're looking at someone talking, we want to see their lifestyle, right? Because their lifestyle is an example for us. It gives us something to look towards or to look to be able to model. In the same way, Jesus Christ models everything that God is. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of everything that God wants us to do. That's how God communicates to us. Verse 14 is wonderful because it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. So God is not just interested in communicating from up there. He puts that in a person and lives amongst us to demonstrate it. So all the religions may say you can do this and do that, but God is actually concerned about it being in people. Truth being in people. Himself being in us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ models everything. Jesus Christ said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus he spoke emphatically, he said that the prophets and all these things, they all point to me. If you want to see who they're speaking of, it's me. He is the communication by which, he is the person by which God communicates to us. I just mentioned earlier that verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Humility, point number three. Jesus is humble in that he came to dwell amongst us. Imagine if a tragic incident happened in the UK. And in as much as we, I don't know about our opinions about Boris Johnson at the moment, but if he actually was the first person to be there and be amongst the people and console everyone and assure those who are weeping and mourning, people, even though some individuals may not have nice things to say about Boris, but that would be something we might applaud, right? That's something that we'd like to model, right? That when people are going through issues, you want to be present and be there with them. How much more God? He doesn't just speak from up there. He came down to be amongst us, to feel what we feel. He's been through the things that we have gone through, and that's why Hebrews then goes, the book of Hebrews, the author made mention of it, that it qualifies him to be a priest for us, because he can mediate. He's acquainted with what we have gone through. So he's a mediator. He's both God and man. He's humble. Verse 10 says that he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. So he dwelt amongst us. And history has shown it. There was a man named Yeshua that was crucified. And with all the witnesses that we have, the accounts that we have, we know that he rose. And he's ascended. In terms of the glory of God, again, it says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was God. Glory. Verse 3, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That life in itself is Zoe life. Zoe in Greek. Zoe. Eternal life. Who else brings life into things? Only God can. Only God can do that. But Jesus has also done so. And you know that John sees Jesus as God, because even in the end of his first, one of his little letters, 1 John, at the end, towards the end, he says, "This is our God, Jesus Christ." He also says that eternal life is in the Son. We know that Jesus, this same one that was in the beginning with God, shared the glory with him. I just made mention earlier in John chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus is praying and he says, "Father, bring me into the glory that we shared before the world was," or before the world began. We know that before everything, he was already with God. He shared that glory. And he humbled himself, as we read today in Philippians 2. He humbled himself being a human being. And not only that, he was obedient to the point of death, and God raised him up into glory again. What was quite profound is the fact that it says that he emptied himself. Some other translations will say that he made himself nothing. He emptied himself. Such humility. But then God raised him up into glory. Verse 18 says, "No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God," or in some other translations, "the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." That touches on communication, because he has revealed the Father. But in terms of glory here, he is the one who had the glory with God the Father already in the beginning. And not only that, he is greater than John. He is greater than Moses. It says, "For the law was given through Moses," in verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." It's not saying that they contradict each other in any way, but the law just shows you your disposition before the Lord. But grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. The scriptures makes it clear that when Jesus comes back, we too will rise in glory with him. John calls Jesus the Word of God here. In Revelation, he also says it as well. When he comes with that final battle, he is the Word of God that will come and defeat Satan completely, throwing him into the lake of fire. Our response to this. Let's think it through. With everything that I've mentioned so far, what is the significance of it all? Everyone else will say you could live your life how you want. You do you. Some may say, "Yeah, I believe in a higher power." And they go through a life of pursuit, but there's still emptiness inside. But we have the answer. His name is Jesus, who came from eternity past into time, demonstrated God. Not only did he do that, but he actually died. Not that God died, but the human nature that he put on died. He rose again, steamed up in glory, and has given us the Holy Spirit as a seal for that day. And when he comes back, all who are his that have the Holy Spirit will be caught up to be with him in glory. That is the God that I serve. That is the God you want to serve. Not a God that will burden you with things that you need to do that you know you cannot do. Let's be honest. We cannot keep all these things. We learn new things. Or this world will tell us to, you know, the latest new thing. But to what? But to what? But Jesus said it on the cross. He said, it is finished. The work ended with him. He dealt with it all. He came from eternity past. He's always existed. And we look forward to reigning with him and reigning with him forever. If you want to see God, look to Jesus. If you want to know about humility, look to Jesus. If there's anyone that you want to worship, it is Jesus. The question is, what side will you be on? When Jesus comes, whose side will you be on? John made mention of it again in one of his other letters, that when Jesus comes, you don't want to shrink back in shame. Abide in him. Let his words abide in you, so that when he comes, you will not shrink back in shame. What does that look like? Literally, reading his word. Literally, communing with him. There's something about a deep relationship with God, or just in relationships in general. When you get acquainted with someone and you speak with them, after a prolonged period of time, something is birthed out from it. And the only way to really live and produce forth the fruit that God requires is by communing with him. Commune with him. Read his word. Devote time in prayer. Life will tug for your life will throw many things at you to tug your attention. Guard it jealously. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is God in flesh. He is the one that is in glory. He is the humble one, the pre-existent one. The only way that God has communicated to us now, receive him. He is the only one that has life. The Bible says that in the chapter that we just read, that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And this light, which is Jesus Christ, embodies that life. Zoe life, eternal life. He is the only way. You cannot bring life from death. You cannot, except if life is given to you from the one who is life himself. So, our response. Follow him. If you're on the side of Christ, you have him. Everything is sealed and done. He said it is finished on the cross. If you're not for him, I plead. Please turn to him. Since he is the pre-existent one and he exists forever, he lives forever. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be with the one that knows the beginning and the end. As we said today, Jesus wins. I want to be on a winning team, right? I want to be on a winning team. So, turn to Jesus. When he comes, he will judge everything with no partiality. And no one has hope at all if they try it within themselves. It is only through Jesus Christ. And I'll leave with this. John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17 says, for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but to save. So this is an opportune moment, whether those who are here or those who are going to hear in the future, it's an opportune moment to turn to him. He's not condemning. He's come to save. But when he does come back to judge, he will judge with severity. and finality, with no partiality. Choose the winning side. And just pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, O God, for your love and kindness, bringing us here together to read. We pray, O Lord God, that that you enlighten the eyes of our understanding, help us to truly know who you are, and to go deeper. For those of us that already know you, O Lord, we thank you for bringing us to have fellowship with yourself. Lord, we just ask, O Lord, to know you more and to go deeper with you, and to produce forth fruit out of this as well. Fruit that abides, as Jesus said. We pray, O Lord God, that you stir our spirits as well. Stir our spirit, O Lord, to do what is right in everything, in our thought life, in everything that we do. Help us to truly, truly, truly esteem you as God, not just as a good teacher, but as God. Reignite that fire in us. If life is not something out of us, ignite the fire in us again, O God. May we look forward to the day where you come in great glory and power with your archangels. May we rise with you in glory on that glorious day, O Lord. And Lord, as we know you more and more, help us to also point people to yourself and your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. Nice, wonderful.